This morning I was trying to share a small message, and I want you first and foremost, let me say that the message is not trying to, target a particular person. It is the word of God. So when it comes, take it. All right? Because Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, for all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for what? Doctrine, for correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished for every good works. So we are here to be rebuked. We are here to, celebrate, to be encouraged, to learn a new thing. It all applies to us. We are just a voice to put us on the alert. And so the word of God is coming. Are we ready? All right. Yes. This is our year of grace and mercy. Our daddy has preached on from 31st night. He has preached powerfully on the power of grace and mercy. We have heard messages on men. We have been encouraged. We love the team because we are expectant. We are looking forward for something good to happen. But this morning, I came to tell you that in the midst of all the expectations and whatever, I want to tell you that it is not automatic. Our year of grace and mercy is not automatic for you. The fact that you are part of the church, the team has been declared, doesn't mean that automatically you will experience it. Hallelujah. Because if we are not careful, like other past years, the team will be declared, by the end of the year, you have experienced nothing. And that has been, the cycle. It is a year of grace and mercy. We are not intentional about it. By the time we realize the year has ended, and another team. And I want to submit to you that you cannot live anyhow, behave anyhow, act anyhow, and expect the grace of God to come upon you. You cannot live anyhow, because we have come to a point where we are taking Christianity for granted. And like I said in the first step, Christianity is a way, and we must walk the way. And so I have come to encourage us that as much as it is a year of grace and mercy, it is a prophetic voice, it means that we also have a responsibility. Because grace comes with what? Responsibilities. You have a part to play. Hallelujah. And so this morning, I want you to place value and importance to the subject matter of grace. I'm not talking of mercy, it's a twin, team, but today we are dealing with grace. The subject matter of what? Grace, you must be serious about it. Apostle Paul, who was a serious teacher on the subject grace, placed so much value on grace that when he was writing his books to encourage the churches, he started by evoking grace upon their lives and ends by evoking grace upon their lives. Why didn't he end and said, may the Spirit of God be upon you to make money? And so you read in all his books, he starts, for instance, in the book of Romans chapter 1 verse 7, he says, and the grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when you get to the end of that book in Romans chapter 16 verse 24, it says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Hallelujah. When you go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 3, it says, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And he ends in chapter 16 verse 23, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
You move to 2 Corinthians, you know, chapter 1, verse 2. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And he ends in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. He says, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Lord be with you. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 1, verse 3. He repeats the same sentence. And by the end of the book, Galatians chapter 6, verse 18, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So you realize that Apostle Paul considered the subject matter of grace very important. And today I came to encourage you that this team that has been declared, it is the best team for the year. And we must take, you know, we must be serious about it, so that by the time we are ending the year, in fact, we will come out and say we are products of grace. May you be a product of grace this year, in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. All of us, you will agree with me that we are in the dispensation of grace. And so the Bible says the law was given by what? Moses. But grace came through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth. John chapter 1 verse 17. And John chapter 1 verse 1 and 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Then when you jump to the verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. So Jesus Christ is the source of grace. Jesus Christ is the giver of grace. He is the embodiment of grace. So I can say that grace is a person. And when that person comes into your life changes. And so if you know somebody who can help you, who has what you need, what do? Connect. You connect yourself. You connect yourself. It has been taught extensively the meaning of grace. Grace is God's undeserved favor, you know, towards man. Grace is the goodwill of God, God's delight, pleasure in man. Grace is the loving kindness that is shown unto, you know, man. Grace is the enabling power that God gives us. All this is beautiful. We want to experience this. But it is not automatic. It is not automatic. And so this morning, I want to quickly share with us the 7 P's to activate and walk in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The 7 P's. Grace. And so from today, as you exit this service, know that grace is available unto you and you must activate it. Amen. It does not matter your situation, whatever. From today, begin to activate the grace and walk in it. Amen. Amen. And so the first P is that if you want to activate and walk in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, you must have a personal relationship with Christ. A personal relationship. This is a basic, you know, teaching. But we must teach it because we have people who are sitting in church who don't have a personal relationship with Christ. There are a lot. I was saying that if God or the Holy Ghost should scan the congregation today, we'll know those who are truly converted. And I was saying that, you know, when we talk of, you know, having a personal relationship, we are talking about being born again. And being born again means to relinquish your heart, your old heart, unto Christ, so that the Holy Ghost will influence that heart and give you a new heart. It is called regeneration. It is called conversion. Translation from one state to another. And
It is the old heart that is the source of our problems. Out of the heart, the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So if we are behaving some way, it is because of the old heart. And that is why Christ comes, so that we can accept him to influence our heart, so that we will receive a new heart to walk as a Christian. And if you are in church for 10 years, 15 years, and there are certain things around your life, then your conversion is questionable. Because we are supposed to grow from one level of grace to another. Grace is given to us, not as an excuse to live certain kind of life. Grace actually is given to us to help us to live the life of Christ. And that is why, oh, you can put your hands together for Jesus. That is why the Bible demands that unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter heaven. But the scribes and the Pharisees, they could memorize the whole five laws, books of Moses. Which scripture can you remember? God is saying that it is because grace helps us to live better, to do better. Hallelujah. And so we must be born again. We must be born again. Allow the Holy Ghost to take that old heart that is the center of issues and allow God to take over your heart. There must be a regeneration. Today in church, I can tell you, there are so many people who are in church for various reasons. They are not in church because they are coming to worship their master. They are in church because they are chasing a certain girl. So they are in church. They are in church because they are chasing a certain girl. Meanwhile, that man is married, though. Like somebody said some time ago, there are nice chicks in SEM. So they come to SEM to come and chase our chicks. God will punish you. Yes. There are people who come to church because they came to meet a business partner. They came to showcase a certain dress. That is, they are not converted. And the church today is having so many issues because of unconverted souls. Unregenerated souls. People are having marital issues because they are not truly converted. How can you, a man, be in church for how long? 13, 15, 20 years. And you can still have the guts to beat your partner. I say partner because women too can beat. In the first service, I said beat your wife. Then it means you are not converted. Yes. We have issues in our marriages. We have issues in leadership. We have issues everywhere because I feel that our conversion is not complete. Questionable. Because if you are converted, God takes your old heart and then gives you a new heart. Behold, that day I will make a covenant with them and I'll take their stony heart and give them a soft heart. The heart of flesh. So you must have a personal relationship. And you must develop this personal relationship into an intimate relationship. Intimate relationship. There are a lot of us who are not intimate with Christ. Intimacy brings a lot of benefits. And you cannot be intimate with anybody without communication, without closeness, without, mingling, without being there for each other. How many of us are there for Christ? And so,
Nicodemus had a conversation with Jesus Christ, and Jesus at the conclusion of the matter is that in John chapter 3 verse 3 it says, and Jesus answered and said unto him, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Is it likely that most of us are not experiencing the kingdom of God because we are not born again? Because Christ came with the kingdom of God. Don't expect that you are dying to go enjoy in the kingdom of God. It starts here. The kingdom of God starts here. So is it likely that most of us are not enjoying the kingdom benefit because we are not born again? Our heart is not right. Develop an intimacy. The Bible says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear its fruit on itself, except it abides in the vine. No more can you, bear fruit except you abide in me. And he said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same what? Bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. This is talking about intimate relationship. Christ is in you. You are in Christ. There is that bonding. There is that fellowship. You know each other. You see, the vine is the one that is in the ground. And it is the vine that picks the sap, the nutrients, everything, and transmits it through the branches for everybody to benefit. So if you are not connected to the vine, then you can do nothing. Jesus, I said, without me, you can do nothing. And I came to submit to you that today that there are so many people in church who are disconnected. You are sitting in church, but you are disconnected. You are disconnected in terms of your prayer life. You are disconnected in terms of your study of the word. You are disconnected everywhere around. Meanwhile, we are the most busiest of all. We have attended all the prophetic meetings in Ghana. Unless you don't hear that a certain prophet has appeared on the mountains there, you are there. You are disconnected. You are in church, but you are disconnected with Christ. And therefore, you will not have the nutrients which represents grace to flow through you. You can't bear fruits. You have been in church for how long? We can't see the fruit of the Holy Spirit in you because you are disconnected. The Bible says in Galatians 5, 22, 23, it talks about, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, goodness, gentleness, faith, temperance, meekness. Against that, there is no law. Can you bear the fruit when you are not connected to the branch? So we have a lot of Christians who are defective in character. The fruit of the Spirit is a representation of character. And we have a lot of Christians whose character, now you cannot even, recommend a Christian for somebody. They will go and fail you. Defective character, because we are disconnected from Christ. We don't have time for him. Meanwhile, we want him to do magic for us. All our prayer meetings that we go is because we are looking for something from God. We want to use him as a means to an end. Hallelujah. The word is for all of us. So. We are disconnected. And today, if you are under the sound of my voice, reconnect yourself to the vine so that you can bear fruit. The whole thing about Christianity is character. The whole Christianity is found in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 21. That's Christianity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. No wonder we are struggling. We are the people who are supposed to be connected to the living God through Christ. But we are struggling. Why? Because we are not connected. We are not connected. Your relationship with Christ is broken. You don't have a healthy relationship with Christ. When you wake up, your mind is set up on something you want to do. It's not about Christ. And Christ is looking forward to have fellowship with you so that he can drop something into your spirit. You are gone. You are gone. You are visiting every prophetic meeting, and when you go and come, you go and bring us problems. Yes. You don't believe us. So you go to another anointed this thing. And mind you, laying on of hands is a spiritual principle for transfer. It was used in the Old Testament. So anyone who lays hands on you can lay hands on you and transfer something else. Then you come back, you want deliverance. I was saying that there are some members, they attend other services before they come. They are in all over. Some of them, to the extent that they will go and have their meeting and begin to share those links with their pastors. It means that their pastors have nothing to offer. So I have discovered a new thing. So get the link. They've been sending them to me. Share the link. Meanwhile, we are here, and you will go to somebody's prayer meeting. And when you go and come, we don't see any tangible thing that you bring back. It is the same old story. You are believing God for marriage. The marriage is not coming. You have followed so many men of God and it's still not happening. Why don't you change your ways and connect to the source? And tell Jesus that, Jesus, you are the source. So I am connecting directly to you. From today, I want to be serious in my work with you and see what God will do. And see what God will do. We are too busy, we are too loud, we are too whatever. And we feel that some of the things that we do will squeeze God's hand so much so that God will say, Ajay, I have released it to you. God is sovereign. He decides to do whatever that is sweet. He decides to do whatever he wants. It does not matter what you do. If God sees that your heart is not right, he won't give it to you. If the time is not right, he won't give it to you. It does not matter what you do. It does not matter the seeds you sow. Your heart must be with him. Because the Bible says in Romans 5:8, it says, you know, God commend his love towards us. Whilst we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What did you pay for Christ to die for you? Nothing. So he loves you the way you are, but he wants to bring you closer. Hallelujah. Because of time factor, let me move to the second one. The second P is that you must live by the principles of Christ. Christ represents a whole lot of principles. He came to present to us principles for effective living. Principles for victorious living. Principles for successful living. But we are not interested. We are not interested. The kingdom of God is full of what? Principles. And every principle, when applied, it has an end result. Every principle, when you apply it, it has an end result. For instance, I was saying that people have been having this argument, should we pay tithe, should we not pay tithe? Look, the word of God, you know, has principles. And the fact of the matter is that tithe was instituted for a certain reason. First fruit, give offerings, they were all instituted for a certain reason. That the Levites, those who have given their time to serve God, can have something. The widow, the whatever. So that was the reason, because God has not come down from heaven and pick offering and go back. Hallelujah. He did it. And those reasons are still relevant today. So if I give my tithe, my offering, it goes to help another human being. That must be the motivation. And when it goes to help another person, you activate the principle of giving and receiving. It is more blessed to give than to receive. It's a principle. And principles don't change. Laws change. A law can change, but a principle is a principle. You do it. So in your giving, it must be with the motivation that I am giving because of certain, I love God. I want his work to be advanced. I want somebody to be blessed. But today, our giving all is motivated by, I want to use giving as a bait. I release this, God gives me this amount. If you should ask that anyone who can bring 100, 1,000 Ghana, come and stand here because there's a certain miracle hanging here right now. I have the power to plug it for you. You will see people lining here. But if you say that, oh, you just bring, we are going to use it to advance something, to do something. You see people, because they are motivated by what they will get.
By what they will get.
Principles. We must live by the principles of holiness, the principle governing relationship with one another, the principles of doing business. They are all principles that Christ brought unto us. And I was saying that the Ten Commandments is not obsolete. When you speak to people, they think that it was of the Old Testament so that it is gone. Yes, it was of the law, but the principles are still relevant. Thou shalt not kill. If you go and kill, is it morally correct?
No.
But it was in the Old Testament. So there are principles, there are ceremonial laws that are dealt with. But there are, laws that have principles that still work. If all of us will know the Ten Commandments and live by them, society will be better. The Ten Commandments is divided into two. The first half points to our relationship with God. The second is relationship to humanity. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 to 17, it is there. Thou shalt not have other gods beside me. Now that you are worshiping Christ, if you defect and go and worship your hometown God, what have you done? You have broken that principle. Thou shalt have no other gods beside me. Thou shalt not bow down unto him, unto them. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. You shall remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother. Hallelujah. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet that which is thy neighbor. This is the Ten Commandments. Are they not relevant today? And when Christ came, he taught them in different ways. In the New Testament, you can find the Ten Commandments there. He came to reinforce them. So these are principles for life. If you are stealing, you are breaking the law of God, and soon it will catch up with you. That is why, in church today, we have become so reckless that a married man will chase a girl to church. A married man will chase a girl to church and be chasing her and leave the wife and children somewhere.
You chase a side chick.
Side chick. The church has beautiful girls, so let's invade them. They come and behave as if they are part of us, but they are eyeing a certain girl. And because we are desperate for marriage, we fall for anything. We fall for anything. Before long, 1 year, 2 years, the marriage counselors are having a hard time to deal with your issue.
Your wife has come.
Am I preaching?
Preaching.
Life is about principles. Principles. If you are stealing from your boss, you are breaking the principle of Christ. I was saying that a lot of us will go and steal because we want to impress. When I come to church, I also want to get down and do pipping.
pip, pip. And then people would turn and say, oh, okay, he also has a car. And you know, excuse me to say, so, some of our sisters, if you have a car, wokunu. Daddy, do you know that some time ago, some of us were working here, and a lot of the girls in church were not interested in us. They liked our spirituality. But the fact that we were not using a car, no. It's by experience. When you marry somebody like Pastor Charles, he will let you pray and fast in Kwan. But those days, let me go and bring a car. And you see them falling. But it wasn't like we couldn't afford a car. We had our priorities. So if you want to follow certain things, in fact, I'm preaching. I say I'm preaching the word of God. We must live by principle. So the Bible says in John chapter 15, verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, then you shall ask anything and it shall be done unto you. My words there represents the principles of Christ, the instructions of Christ. If you abide in me, you are still in church. And my words abide in you. You cherish the principles of God and you use them to govern your life. Then he says that, so this is a key for answered prayer. Then you will ask anything and it shall be done. Principles. Principles. Number three, P is you must be a productive Christian. Productive Christian. There are so many unproductive Christians in church. They are not adding anything to the kingdom of God. They just come and go. God has gifted you. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 10 says that as each has received a gift, let us use it to minister to one another as good stewards of what? The manifold grace of God. So you have no excuse. Productive Christians. And you know, when you are an unproductive Christian, Bible says that God will take you out. It's scripture. God will take you out. And those who are productive, he will prune them so that they will bear much fruits. John chapter 15, verse 1 and 2. I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman or the farmer. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh. And every branch that bears fruit, he purgeth it, so that it will bring forth much fruit. He take it away. And the way God will take away me, I don't know. God has his own way of taking away. Because you are unproductive. You can't be connected to the vine, and the vine is giving you grace. And that grace, we are not seeing any profit. So God disconnects you and connects another. And those who are faithful, God now begins to prune you so that you can have more impact for him. Productive. Find something to do for the kingdom of God. It may not be church, you know, only church, but even the kingdom of God is vast. The Bible says children represent the kingdom of God. Have you been of help to any child? Have you done something that advances the kingdom of God? Amen. Number, I will just. Yes, productivity. Even if it is small, God knows that that is the grace he has given you. Is it serving? Is it, you know, receiving offering? There used to be, I don't know, Mama Favor. That woman, since we knew her, every morning, this pouches, she will come and put them on the seats before she will go and dress. We used to see him, but she's still doing it. Nobody is seeing her. But before God, it is a valuable service. She is productive. Yes.
You cannot excuse yourself and say that. I was saying that CEM has a couple, about 30 departments. Find something to do for the kingdom of God. In your church, outside the church, wherever. Anything that will do, that will bring glory to Christ. You are advancing the kingdom. You are advancing. When, you know, we have a lot of village champion pastors. And they are locked up there. But look, some of them, when they give them opportunity, what we are doing is not preaching. It's only because they have not been exposed. They have not been exposed. What have you done to advance their cause? Somebody bought a motorbike for somebody in the hinterlands to be able to move. Is it not part of the kingdom of God? You must be profitable, a profitable Christian for the betterment and advancement of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. The next one, number 5. Is it have I jumped? Number four, be a prepared vessel. But I wanted to talk about, be a prepared vessel. Yes, you must be a prepared vessel. God is not interested in using a dishonorable vessel. Why do you think that you can just give God anything? God wants the best of you. You don't go and enjoy and chill and say, oh, when we get to some time, we'll come and serve God. God wants your young energy. He wants a prepared vessel. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold or silver, but of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. But any man who purges himself from these, will be a vessel unto honor. Sanctified and prepared for the master's use. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. So in the house of God, the Bible says that there are some vessels that are unto honor and there are some vessels that are unto dishonor. Which of them do you think are of dishonor? The wood, the vessel, the earth, clay. It means that we must purge ourselves of certain behavior so that God can use. Because, look, God will not pour his anointing upon somebody who will go and then waste it and discredit his name. I was telling the first service that even one of my students who is aspiring to become a pastor, they will pour oil on him when to impregnate somebody's wife. Somebody's wife, not a girl walking. No. Somebody's wife. One of them had a child with a lady, came through the school, graduated, abandoned the woman and the girl. And the woman appeared and said, you people have made him. Meanwhile, he has neglected his duty. And God is so serious about families. God cares out. So if you are somebody who doesn't, you know, take care of a family, God has no business dealing with you. There was another time one of the students, police matter, the police people came around. He has gone to take people's money and so many things. Do you think God wants to use a vessel like that? That would discredit his name. You cannot gallivant and do so many things and come back expecting that God will use you. We are all still growing by grace. We are human. We are growing day by day. But we must use grace as a leverage. Because God is preparing us to attain the image of Christ. Romans chapter 8 verse 29. That is God's intention. So if God wants you to attain the image of Christ, can you just live anyhow and you want God to use you? God to use me. I want to be a very big, you know, businessman so that I can support the kingdom. Meanwhile, God help us. I say, God help us. All of us, God must help us. That is why grace is available. And we must leverage on grace. I was telling somebody yesterday, I heard a certain news about a certain powerful man of God that most of us will know. And the stories around him were too bad.
Very bad.
So we are pruning ourselves. So.
Yeah, everybody.
Because if somebody has an issue with their wife and they come and report, then you will cut the man off and align with the woman. And then finish. So it is all indication that this flesh, as long as we are clad in this flesh, we will continue to battle with the flesh. But grace is made available, and that is what we must activate, so that we grow from one level of grace to another until a point where we mortify the flesh. Mortification of the flesh means that you make the flesh become dead. When he sees the beer bottle sweating, it doesn't move. When he sees a lady in a skirt, it doesn't move you. That is the level we must get to. And it is the work of the Holy Spirit. Sanctification. Prepared vessel. The next one is that you must live to please him. Live to please him only. You are not living to please any man. Live to please what? God. That he died for all. That they which live, that they which should live, should no longer live for themselves, but unto him that died for them and rose again. Are you living for yourself? Some of us, we cannot sacrifice the pleasure of the flesh for God. I must by all means satisfy. We are in a period of hedonism. Hedonism. The love of pleasure. Elevating pleasure above everything. And so we are not ready to sacrifice anything that will make us feel good for God. But the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, by brethren, by the mercies of God, present your body. Some people will tell you that my body doesn't matter. It's my spirit. It's a lie. He says, he bought you. He owns your body and your soul and your spirit. And anything you do must glorify him. Present your body as a living sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable, and pleasing unto God, which is your reasonable service. What service are you rendering to God with your body? And the reason why the flesh is having dominion over us is that because we have not, you know, subjected the flesh. Apostle Paul of all people in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 27 says, I always beat under my body and I bring it under subjection. Lest after I have enlisted others, I have preached to others, I myself become a castaway. The body and the flesh and the spirit are contrary to one another. They are fighting over our life to gain control. According to Galatians chapter 5, 15, 16, 17, thereabout. The body, the spirit, and the... So, if the spirit of God will control your life, it depends on you, what you do. If the flesh will control your life, it depends on you.
Everybody is clapping for me. You must live to please God. Today there are so many men pleasers in the kingdom. They can't be of themselves. I service. But Apostle Paul said, if I please man, I am not qualified to be the servant of God. Galatians 1:10. Am I now pleasing men? If I please men, I'm no more qualified. Men pleases. Me, I'm preaching the word of God. We must live to please him alone. That which is his will, we must do. There are people who are sycophant. There are people who are, if at the heart of man is desperately wicked and are deceitful above all things, who can know it? So we must live to please. And the last one is Yes, develop a habitual prayer life, you know, because that is where you get the anointing. And I said the anointing is actually that which makes the difference between Christianity and other religions. It is the anointing. And the anointing is the supernatural ability of God that he gives to ordinary man to do something you have not been able to do with your natural strength. That's the anointing. And so we need the anointing not only for ministry, but we need the anointing to accomplish every assignment God puts in our hands. If you are a lawyer, you need the anointing. If you are a doctor, you need the anointing. Because the anointing is God's supernatural ability. It makes a difference. And Jesus was God, but Jesus will always want to re-energize his anointing. That is why he will leave home early in the morning, depart to a solitary place and pray. Mark chapter 1 verse 35. And rising up, you know, a great while before day, he will go out and depart to a solitary place and pray. There he prays. And I was showing the first service. The reason why Jesus would do that, because Jesus had an itinerary, you know, ministry, move from one place, and the challenges that would come to Jesus were enormous. And so for him to be prepared, that is why before we see miracles happening, it is not just because, you know, whatever. At times, you have incubated it. You have charged the spiritual battle. Hallelujah. Let's read Luke chapter 6, reading verse 12, 13, and we jump to verse, yes. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continue all night in prayer to God. Right? Let's continue. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. Let's go to verse 17. And he came down with them and stood in the plain and in the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. So you see the thing that was waiting for Jesus. The whole hacho, everywhere they have come out and they are waiting to be healed. And I pray that may that grace come back to the church, because there are a lot of sick people in church. Let's continue. 18. And
They that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. Now the 19. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. They went what? Virtue. Spiritual energy. The anointing. Jesus was God, and he needed to accumulate the anointing so that he can meet the day-to-day challenges. There are so many people, it's like we have, there's so much prayer meeting going on here and there, but we are not seeing anything. Your private, your closest prayers with God, that is where God energizes you. That is why God fills you. And so when you come out, the challenge just comes. But a problem comes. You are solving it. I remember when I first finished, you know, school, and those days computers were not common. In the class, one computer that the lecturer is teaching us, so we are all looking. We came out without even touching a mouse. Then when I came out and I got employment with the radiotherapy department, so, oh, your CV is good. I can see you have a computer, what? I say, hey, I've not even touched mouse before. But God being so good, I was given an office, you know, somewhere. I was there alone, brand new computer. And I said, today, me and you, I sat, just be pressing, just be doing things, just be doing things. Within 1 month, I was a master. And by then, they now started giving me assignment. God said they should hold on. I said, Holy Spirit, this one day, you have to be my teacher. So I started. So I became the computer expert in the unit. Meanwhile, it was just some small knowledge. The anointing, virtue must come out of you. Somebody comes to you with a very dicey counseling issue. You need anointing to confront it. There's a problem in your business. You need the anointing that brings wisdom. The anointing. And the anointing. So don't, it is the difference between Christianity and other religions is the anointing. That is why Christ is called the anointed one. So when you align yourself with him, like I said, the connection. When you are connected with Christ, the anointing of Christ flows into you. And there is nothing you cannot solve. And lastly, I said the last P is practice humility. Practice humility. Humility is the key. 1 Peter 1:1, my time is up. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. It says, likewise, you youngest people, submit yourself to the elderly. Hallelujah. And yea, all of you, subject yourself one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace. Are you a proud person? Then forget it. God will not give you his anointing. Because if he gives you an anointing, small healing that you will heal people, you will talk anyhow to them. Small prophetic gift that they have given you, you are ordering people about, talking anyhow to people. Come, I will heal you. And that is why Christ is not manifesting his glory in some people's ministry. It is all about, come, I will heal you. Come, I will do that. We have usurped the power of God. So God is watching us. Humility, respect people, serve people. It does not matter your status. Serve people. Serve people. Be the first to offer to serve. Respect people. Value people. God has given those riches, but he can take them away. God has placed you at a certain position, but he can take you away. I rest my case. Put your hands together for Jesus. Rise up. Rise up. There are so many declarations I wanted to make, but I want you to know that grace is a destiny maker. If you want your destiny to be fulfilled, it is the work of grace. That is why Apostle Paul can confidently say in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, he says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. This year, you will become what God has destined you to become. No devil can do anything, but you must be connected to grace. Because Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. Grace is a helper. Do you need any help? Now, tomorrow, in the coming week, do you need any help? That is why he says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, let us come boldly before the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. It means grace can be found. Grace for business, grace for marriage, grace for exams, grace for excellence, grace for promotion. It can be found before the throne of grace. And the throne of grace, you know, most people, you know, the throne of grace is constantly emanating grace. You can always find grace when you come before Jesus. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.